And good morning to you, Tucson, and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome to the Common Workspace Studios for this live drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Welcome back after what I hope was a great weekend for everybody. Looking forward to the show ahead. Matt's been at it a little bit longer than I have this morning, but Matt, as always, good to be with you. Happy Monday. Let's do this thing.
Morning, Zach. Got a warm week in Tucson, and we're going to get through it just fine.
You know, well, for some reason, we always come back to talking about the weather, but this is the time of year where I've said September is my hardest month of the summer, because for some reason, even though I know it to be untrue every year, I get to September, something about the word September means fall in my brain. I expect the weather to cool down, and it really doesn't until the end of September, early October. So this is the month where I have the least capacity for the triple digits, and the month where it just keeps going on and on and on. So I am hoping we'll be back under 100 by the end of the week. You keep reading that, Matt. Make it true.
I'm going to believe it. I'm going to put every ounce of belief in it I can for you.
I appreciate it. Good weekend, sir. Anything fun?
Busy weekend. My gosh, it's like all of a sudden we're back to being normal people interacting with other normal people. So it's right. It was nice. I was out and about a lot this weekend. So a great weekend. You know, saw some football, and you know, the Cats got a little work to do, a lot of work to do maybe, but it was good to see him play. And you know, you got to start somewhere, Zach. You got to start somewhere.
That's right. Yeah, I actually, again, I reserve space very rarely to talk sports on the program. It's a news, politics, business show. But, you know, sports matter. And, Matt, I think the celebration of Lute Olson indicates that there is often an impact off the grass, off the hardwood of sports, certainly in this community. But I do want to talk about football, and also something I kept hearing a lot about, and that is the lines to get in. So maybe that'll be our fourth segment. Matt, this is going to sound really weird probably to most people. I had fun doing it. I didn't get to go to the game. I got to watch it, though. But I'm a part of a kind of a statewide kind of issues workshop course this fall, and my weekend was 15 hours. That's right, 15 hours of deep dive into policy and practice of K-12 and higher education in Arizona. Everything you want to know about K-12 and higher education, policy and practice. That was my weekend, and it was a lot more fun than it sounds, Matt.
Here you go.
It was depressing. That's another show for another day. There's this estimate that 50% of the jobs in Arizona, and I think this is a national number too, by I think it was 2025 or 2028. I have to go back and check. These weren't on my notes on purpose today for the show, but will require a bachelor's degree, and Arizona is just not churning out that kind of workforce. Lots of other high notes and silver linings, but man, it was depressing and interesting at the same time. All right, we use Mondays to get into the week. Here's what's coming up this week. We'll take a bit of an early break, and then I want to talk about a speech that Chris Christie gave. I find myself asking, how did we get here, this American moment? This is me, Zach, speaking. I go here often on the show because I think a lot of people, I ask, how did we get here and how do we get out? And we need America to have strong opposition parties. And so you'll find me talking about, really even in this show, asking myself, you know, why does the progressive establishment in Tucson often let working families down when working families are the undergirding, the foundation of campaign promises? I'll talk about that a little bit. But I also ask, how did the Republican Party get where it is, and how does it get back out? So we'll cover that a little bit. I want to talk about Austin. Talent is in the process of abandoning Austin. Yes, the glitzy, glamorous community that Tucson has longed to be Not all, what do they say, not all that glitters is gold. We'll talk about that in terms of an important decision, I think, in Tucson this week, and maybe talk some football. So that's our show ahead. 520-790-2040 is your live line. Just you and me on the air today. This is our Monday morning news hour. We get into the week talking about the stories of the week before and the week ahead. Join me at any time. Before we go to break, Matt, I'm excited about this week. Just again, to kind of set up the week, we'll get to talk with Eric Smith from Tech Parks Arizona and the University of Arizona Center for Innovation. Mayor Murphy from Sahuarita comes in tomorrow. Always love catching up with him. We'll talk with Ruben Navarrete about the California recall, which happens tomorrow, Tuesday. We'll have the most widely read Latino columnist in the country coming to us from California, debriefing what has happened. Mayor Romero from Tucson, City of Tucson Mayor Romero, will be with us on Thursday. And the University of Arizona President Bobby Robbins will be with us on Friday. And, of course, lots more great conversation and great guests sprinkled throughout that. But Matt Neely, a busy week. On the show, two mayors, University of Arizona president. We'll keep it busy here on the program, so I hope you're looking forward to it like I am. Matt, let's do this. Let's go to our first break a little bit early. Leave us plenty of time to talk about how did we get to this American moment, specifically in the Republican Party? What do we do to get out of this American moment? That more and more on the other side. Again, 790-2040. Give us a call. We get going. On the other side, Tipping Point returns here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Local and national politics, the issues that matter to you. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030, The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson, and all of Southern Arizona here, coming to you live out of the Common Workspace Studios. Tipping Point with Zach Genser, AM 1030, KVY, The Voice, daily drive time, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. We talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future as we get here into the week on Monday. Look, I'm going to say this. I think the next two segments for me, when I think about how did we get to this American moment, and how do we get out? I think now is a time for hard truths told well with love of community for the right reasons. As someone I listened to this weekend said, look, I'm going to tell it like it is, how I see it as it is, and let the chips fall. And here on this program, I do it in a way where probably makes some of my Republican friends antsy and some of my Democratic friends antsy, and that's where I want to be. But now is a time for hard truths told well with love of community for the right reasons. I think it's how we get out of this American moment of malaise. And I'll move on after this, but we spent some time last week talking about 9/11 and how it changed America. And certainly I think it was a tipping point moment towards some incredible division, right? We had had division before, we had had divisiveness before, but it has gone to a new level in increasing ways since 9/11, to the point where I was in a room over the weekend where really smart people with great intentions could barely talk with each other about an issue. Again, not partisans, not you would think divided on their face, but could not agree on 9/11, 9/12, and 9/13. Could not agree on topics that face the state. We can barely sit together and have a real conversation rooted in reality. How did we get here? How did we get out? I listened to, and it's been widely panned, I listened to the speech given by Chris Christie at the Reagan Library. And the Reagan Library started a series earlier this year called A Time for Choosing the Future of the Republican Party. They got former Speaker of the House Paul Ryan to kick it off in the spring. They have or will have guest speakers such as Senator Tom Cotton, Ambassador Nikki Haley, Peggy Noonan from the Wall Street Journal, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Senator Tim Scott, so on and so forth. Really, I would say major players, love them or hate them, of the Republican Party, and certainly folks who were a part of, for a long period of time, varying period of time, the Trump administration years. So not an anti-Republican Party, not an anti-Trump list of speakers or audience. He spoke this week about what he sees needs to be the future of the Republican Party. And I want to play that clip. It's going to take us a few minutes, but it runs really easily. It listens easily. I want to play this because I think it speaks to this moment. Matt, if we have that clip, let's go to Chris Christie, Republican governor for 8 years of New Jersey, former presidential candidate, an endorser of President Trump, chaired his transition team for a time leading up to the first to his 2016 administration. Part of his talk here, Time for Choosing. Let's go ahead and play that.
Around for us. See, we've been in this place as a party before, a place where we were defeated at the presidential level, a place where lies and conspiracy theories and truth denying were dominating portions of our party, a place where hard truths needed to be told. That's the moment when true leadership is indispensable. John mentioned six decades ago, during an era when our party faced a crossroads much like the one we face today. It was Ronald Reagan and William Buckley who demonstrated the very best we have to offer by standing up to the very worst. Those two men, the future governor of California and the editor-in-chief of the National Review, which is what they were at the time, worked together to rescue the Republican Party from heading off the deep end at a similar time of challenge. Their courage, marked by an uncompromising commitment to the truth, paid enormous dividends for our country for the 50 years that followed. See, Reagan and Buckley together sketched out a vision for the future of the party that helped Republicans elect four presidents, including Ronald Reagan, capture the House and the Senate for the first time in decades, and set the terms of the political debate in America for the next half century. Not bad. That's what a couple of leaders with the courage of their convictions can achieve. And in this critical moment for our party, when self-serving deceit is often in greater supply in some corners than that kind of courage, it's worth a look back to this history to better understand how we can shape tomorrow. So let's go back there for a second. In 1962, the American political landscape was not unlike today's. Democrats controlled the White House, the House, and the Senate. And like today, it was tough being a Republican in Washington. Senator Barry Goldwater, a conservative Republican from Arizona, was thinking about running for president in 1964, but he hadn't made his mind up yet. Naturally, he went to see the editor of America's leading conservative magazine. Buckley and the National Review were important thought leaders on the American right, and Goldwater knew Buckley's insights and support would be crucial in a campaign against a president as popular at that time as John F. Kennedy, whose approval ratings had hit a high of 83% that spring. So for Buckley, he hoped to convince Goldwater that he should run as a strong conservative. But their conversation didn't focus on Kennedy's daunting poll numbers or the growing importance of TV in politics or the fading grip of party bosses. No, Buckley used the meeting to warn Goldwater about a different kind of threat to the conservative cause, a threat from the inside that he referred to as the Birch Fallacy, the growing influence of an anti-communist group called the John Birch Society. These were not your garden variety anti-communists, rightfully suspicious about Russian and Chinese governments, the way most Americans were and, quite frankly, still are, and rightfully so. Now, the Birchers could be downright paranoid, at least as radical as the truth deniers and conspiracy propagandists that we see in some corners of our country today. And they threatened the Republican Party and the cause of conservatism just as severely. By the early 60s, the John Birch Society was making inroads and some pretty far-fetched claims. Their founder was Robert Welch, a former candy company vice president turned political wannabe. He alleged that 50 to 70% of the U.S. government was communist controlled. He said the civil rights movement in the South had been fomented entirely by communists. His wild theories only intensified over time. He soon saw Stalinist operatives and Moscow dupes around nearly every corner of American life, even at the highest levels of American government. Right to ask, as a former prosecutor, what hard evidence did he have? Absolutely zero. Nothing. But he kept repeating the claims over and over again, so much so that people began to believe him. And his believers weren't confined to just those who joined him. The John Birch Society had chapters across the entire country, and some of the backers included civic leaders, academics, and some prominent business folks. Buckley decided he and conservatism had had enough, and he was hoping Goldwater would join him in the fight. But the Arizona senator was reluctant for reasons that also might sound very familiar today. He didn't want to alienate the base. When have we heard that before? After a lively debate and discussion, Buckley and Goldwater agreed to take a stand together. Buckley struck first. He wrote a scorching 5,000-word editorial, repercussions to himself or the livelihood of National Review to be damned. His message was clear. Republicans must speak up or the party and our worldview were doomed. We don't believe garbage like this, he said. This is not real conservatism. But Goldwater, who promised to follow shortly thereafter with a letter of his own, did so very cautiously, in fact, too cautiously. It wasn't long before he found himself defending the Birchers. Buckley was angry. Enter Ronald Reagan, who, like Goldwater, wrote a letter backing Buckley's sharp critique, though the John Birch Society was even stronger here in California than it had been in Arizona. Unlike Goldwater, Reagan did not mince words. By the time he was ready to announce his campaign for governor, he was still warning his fellow Republicans about what he called a lunatic fringe, his words, that was gaining influence inside the party. Asked whether he would embrace the group's philosophy, as was typical, Ronald Reagan had a deceptively simple response. This is, quote, "It would be my intention, if I seek public office, to seek the support of individuals by persuading them of my philosophy, not of accepting theirs." Everyone got the message. They aren't us. Reagan would stand up for the truth, not bend to it for political benefit. Almost instantly, his words were being echoed all over Washington. People got it. The top Republicans in the House and Senate called a press conference that Reagan and Buckley couldn't have scripted better themselves. They provided leadership through strength. 10 years ago, in this library, I told you that real leaders don't follow polls, they change them. Reagan's rejection of Birch extremism was a sterling example of that idea, because in his election for governor, he attracted people who didn't usually vote Republican. He didn't let a few zealots drive the common sense voters away from him. He won by nearly 1 million votes. He understood that telling the truth, standing up to lies, and pitching a big tent was a winning formula. And I believe that that is the advice he would give us today.
Powerful clip from that. I would say, if you're interested, high-level speakers representing lots of different perspectives across the spectrum, speaking at the Reagan Library. This is Chris Christie, again, someone who was a Republican governor for 8 years in New Jersey, former presidential candidate, endorsed President Trump the first time around, and chaired his transition team, speaking to a moment in time that I think the Republican Party finds itself that is very similar to where it was in the years leading up to President Reagan. And it was not, those were not good years. Again, Barry Goldwater, I think only won 38% of the vote in that election. You should watch the entire clip. It's really, I think, really interesting from a guy who's known to speak bluntly and let the chips fall where they may. But he speaks to earlier that, and I think both parties do this, but in the Republican Party has become a party of grievance and a party of the past. And you have to start talking policy and the future. In 2012, the Republican Party did what should have been done in 2020, and that is do a post-mortem on why the loss. The number two recommendation that came out of the RNC in 2012, the Republican Party needs to stop talking to itself. We have become expert in how to provide ideological reinforcement to like-minded people, but devastatingly, we have lost the ability to be persuasive with or welcoming to those who do not agree with us on every issue. And I think the Republican Party, as half of America's political heart, I think the Republican Party is at that dangerous level, dangerous point where it doesn't get better from here, it gets worse. And whether it is the Maricopa County ballot audit, we know how that movie ends. We know the relatively little substance that will come out of that. Whether it is what happened in the election, whether it is January 6th, it is time for hard truths told well with love of community for the right reasons. The formula for a healthy second half of America's political heart is what Chris Christie mentioned. The party today is not there. We know how the movie ends. It's time for hard truths told well with love of community for the right reasons. The other side of America's political heart. I'm going to talk about Austin, why talent is leaving, is abandoning Austin. Not all that glitters is gold. I will talk about how the progressive establishment works against the working family and doesn't even know it. Hard truths told well. That on the other side. Tipping Point returns here on AM 1030 KVY The Voice. We'll be right back.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and schedule time with Devin and her team.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink.
Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
After you finish listening to The Tipping Point, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, this morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1030 KBOI The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Good morning to you. Happy Monday and welcome here live out of the Common Workspace Studios. Tipping Point on AM 1030 KVY The Voice. We are here on Mondays to get you ready for the week. We try to make sense of the what came in over the weekend since we left studio and what we think is going to happen now the rest of the week in studio. It's called our Monday Morning News Hour, and today it is you and me on the line together, 520-790-2040. Feel free to give us a call. I'm spending more time on this show really trying to think about this American moment. I think we are in a moment of American malaise. And I'm not going to say that, you know, you've read out there, this is like the 70s and there's some similarities, and but there's a lot of apples and oranges. But when I think about how America views itself in the world, the internal divisions inside, a slowing economy that we're not sure is going to revive again, foreign policy issues, racial tension and division, and I think even coming out of Afghanistan, an uncertainty about who we are and what is our role in the world. We have been here before, and we are here again, I think, where the unity, the swagger, the purpose of America is somewhat lost. And that may be putting it too graciously. And so when I can relate it back to especially Arizona and Southern Arizona, I try to think about and talk about what is this American moment and how do we get out? And last segment, if you just joined us, I talked about a speech that former New Jersey governor for 8 years, Chris Christie, gave at the Reagan Library discussing the future of the Republican Party. Listen back to that segment if you missed it. Listen to Chris Christie's speech. I think both are pretty good. You should listen back. And you can send me the love or hate email afterwards, theanswer@gmail.com. The rest of the way, I want to talk about something that's happening in Austin, and it very directly relates to something that I think is going to be happening here, is happening, and may happen if we don't make some good choices going forward. Hard truths told well, with love of community for the right reasons. That's what we're doing on this show today. And then I want to wrap up with on a high note, maybe we can call it a high note, a non-political note, talk some U of A football over the weekend, the first home opener. But let's get into it. This weekend, a friend of mine who I met here in Tucson, and she has since moved to Austin, is pretty in the weeds now around the tech community, the talent retention attraction conversation in Austin. She moved to Austin about a year ago. And she sent me this piece, an opinion piece in the American Genius. It's an entrepreneurial magazine, I guess, and it's someone writing an article called Why Tech Talent is in the Process of Abandoning Austin. Nothing's keeping me here is how the article starts, is a phrase we keep hearing around town. This is from the perspective of Austin. Being in the center of the tech space, we've been able to keep our finger on the pulse, and what we thought was primarily housing that is driving folks out of town turns out to be far more insurmountable than we could have ever imagined. A perfect storm is brewing as the housing market collides with a dramatically transformed workforce that has become accustomed to working remotely and shifting priorities. Many of these talented people that we were able to attract into Austin, right? Austin was bleeding talent in 2011. There wasn't enough investments. There weren't enough open roles at the senior level. We did all this work to bring talented people to the community. Now they're saying, these talented people are saying that the soaring housing prices in Austin had them eyeballing smaller towns in Texas, or worse, their hometowns outside the state. There are only so many times you can try to buy a house, get rejected, or get outbid on 22 homes before you start looking other places. Only so many people will accept a 1,000,000,000% rent increase at renewal time before thinking that going back to home to Louisiana is looking pretty good. This week, Austin Culture Map reported that Austin now ranks number 2 among the most overvalued home markets in America. But yet, Tesla is getting ready to open their Gigafactory. Oracle is moving their headquarters to Austin. Samsung is trying to build their mega plant near Austin. It all feels so exciting, yet overwhelming when you're going to buy a house here only to get outbid by $150,000 over asking price from an investor in California. One more piece of this article, and then I'll tell you what I think the Tucson connection is. There's many other reasons, right? I'm not going to look at this article and read how it's not just housing and its other issues and then tell you on the air that it's just housing, right? Because that's disingenuous and it's false. There are many factors. Housing exacerbates all of them, makes them worse. One of the other problems mentioned is that salaries are not keeping up. Salaries are not keeping up with living expenses. What you get paid to do in Austin doesn't match what it takes to live in Austin. Where have you heard those two things before? And I don't just mean on this show, because you've heard it on this show before, but where have you heard those two things before? I've gotten heat for saying this, and by people who've been involved with City of Tucson stuff for a while. I put this in print, and it got redlined pretty badly. You can have great roads. You can have great talent. You can have shiny high rises. You can have great tech companies moving in. You can have a booming economy. You can have all of that. If you do not have affordability, and I don't just mean Section 8, but affordability across the spectrum of housing and a sustainable cost of living, you have nothing. And we are looking at a city where people flocked to it in the last decade, now preparing to flock out of it. And people ask me all the time, they say, Zach, of all the issues and challenges in Tucson, why do you focus on housing so much? That is why. Because it may not be on the Tucson and Southern Arizona conscious across the board right now, but I guarantee you, and I'll buy you a drink or a meal at your place of choosing if I'm wrong on this. And by that, I mean one or two listeners. I can't do it for everybody if I'm wrong, but I think I'm right on this. I've looked into the crystal ball called the last 10 history of metropolitan America. All those cities that have been ahead of Tucson for so long, where we've said we wish we weren't so far behind. One of the pros is you get to look at somebody else drop off the cliff and make the mistake before you have to. And my crystal ball is 10 years of history of metropolitan America. I guarantee you that in the next 2 to 4 years in City of Tucson and Metro Tucson elections for city council, for county, you name it, the local municipal elections that matter, I guarantee it, in 2 to 4 years, this will be the top 1, 2, 3 topic that is on people's minds. You will hear it in debates. You will hear it in forums, because this is what happens in urban America. This is not a unique problem. We are not unique in having it. Austin is not unique in having it. The problem is here. We're about to go there. We have a housing crisis in Southern Arizona. The only bummer is we don't have the booming economy to go with it. But we are seeing folks move here. We welcome them. We are seeing a change in living costs, but we are simply not doing our part to create more housing supply and empower people to do it, to get ahead of this situation where everybody who says they love the mountains and the tacos in Tucson will have to look their partner and their kids in the eye and go, I just no longer can afford to be here. And there are other communities where I can take my remote work, where I can get paid better, and I can go somewhere that is more affordable. And if you don't think that is Tucson today, you're not watching the data. I say that out of love. If you keep talking about Tucson being an affordable community, you're not watching the data. It is no longer affordable. Asterisk. It's affordable if you're moving from California and Texas. But if you are a longtime Tucsonan and you are making Tucson wages, you got priced out of your hometown in the last 2 years. And we can look at Austin and it backs up what I put in writing and it got red lines all through it. It's nonsense. You can have all that glitters, but it's not gold, unless you have a housing market that provides the right amount of supply across a spectrum of affordability. And yes, when we think about education and roads and economic development, all things I talk about on this show, those seem to be top priority. But when it comes to bringing people here and keeping them here, those people tell us, metropolitan areas around the country, us, that affordability is at the top of their list. It's time to start paying attention. And so a niche topic to close out, the Planning Commission in the city of Tucson, right? This obscure commission working on an obscure issue called accessory dwelling units is about to make a decision to take a zoning change to mayor and council. And my hope, my fear that I hope never becomes realized is that there will be procrastination by that commission. I have friends on that. I respect them. And or that they send it on to mayor and council and it is so neutered and so ineffective that nobody takes the opportunity to build an accessory dwelling unit in their yard, right? And we talked about all the details of what that looks like last week and the week before, but that decision is going to be made this week. And time for here before we leave this segment, time for hard truths told well with love of community for the right reasons. I'm checking all those boxes. I think there is no other issue quite like housing where you can see so clearly how a progressive establishment, I don't mean Tucson's, I do, but I don't. I mean progressive cities, cities that would call themselves progressive, work against the working family every time when it comes to housing, at least the first time around. And Tucson is no different. There is no other issue like housing where you will see a progressive establishment, a progressive political class, work against the working family. And someone has to call that out, because it's not obvious and people don't talk about it. But when it comes to creating more housing, whether it is at the neighborhood level or the political level, I can tell you there is very little obvious leadership right now in the city of Tucson on this. There are not enough voices and enough of the important places capitalizing on campaign promises to try and get ahead of, barely by the way, get ahead of the Austins, Portlands, Denvers of the world. There has to be leadership on this. And I think someone has to say, when we work against housing, we are working against the working family. And progressives do it better than anybody. Legacy leadership in our community does it better than anybody. And I'm friends with those voices. I care about them deeply. If you're listening, I care about you deeply, but it is time for hard truths told well with love of community for the right reasons, because Tucson is heading off the same cliff that America's cities are, and we could be better. We could be doing better. So again, was this on my mind on Thursday last week? No. This piece sent to me by my friend now in Austin saying, wow, we're heading off a cliff. This stinks. All that glitters is not gold in Austin. Here's what's going on. And I just sat back and I went, doggone it, on this show, whether it was the weekend version of it or whether it is the one you listen to now on Drive Times 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. We've been preaching this for 4 years, often laughed at. That's okay. My crystal ball is the last 10, 15 years of Metro America. I'm not smart. I just look at the last 10 years of recorded human history in metropolitan America. You know where the movie ends. There's no significant leadership in this community loud enough to say we have to be a pro-housing city. And by the way, I'll close on this. That doesn't mean Section 8, right? I think that has to be included. This accessory dwelling units allows middle-class Joe and Jane the opportunity to build more houses for more people. It is the market at work in participation with the public sector. It's what you want in your community. And I can't tell you with 100% certainty where Tucson leadership is going to go on this. I hope it goes in the right direction. Alrighty, that's Monday morning news hour for you. Passionate about this community. Let's write a different story. I think we can do it. When we come back after our last break of the hour, I want to turn away from politics, thank God, and business news and policy and politics. Talk a little bit of U of A football. And we got to see in live and living color the first home game of the Jed Fish era. Some of my thoughts, what I've been hearing. Maybe we'll get Matt in on this. Matt watches the games. I think Matt was there. We'll be back after a short break right after this. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser returns.
Radio by and
Tucson, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at MassMutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be, and tell them Zach sent you over. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more. Why I Love Where I Live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson, all of Southern Arizona. Good morning to you. Happy Monday. Welcome back live into the Common Workspace Studios here with us. Tipping Point on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. It's our Monday morning news hour. We hit the ground fast, I think, today. 790-2040 is the live line number. You can give us a call. Agree, disagree, want to add something to what you've heard today, please do it. We've got open phone lines the next few moments. You can always shoot me an email as well. Send me a message on social media. I try to keep track of it all as much as possible. And check out the podcast as well, kvy.com/podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Tipping Point. With Zach Yenser, search that. You will find us here every day that we do a live show. Don't forget, I mentioned at the top of the hour, Tipping Point this week features two mayors and a university president. Bobby Robbins will be with us on Friday. Mayor Romero, City of Tucson, on Thursday. Mayor Murphy, Sahuarita, tomorrow, Tuesday. So join us for those conversations. We want to keep you up to date on everything happening in greater Tucson. So I had a friend, Matt, message me over the weekend. He said, you better keep open phone lines to hear from folks who went to the home opener game, Arizona Wildcats against San Diego State University. You need to have open phone lines for folks to call in with their experience on Monday. And Matt, not the experience of watching the game, although you can call in about that, but the experience of getting into the game, which I heard was really bad. Matt, I know you were, I think you were, was it tailgating or something I saw? Did you watch the game from the stadium?
Yes, from the stadium. Unfortunately, Zach, that became the story, right? I mean, and the Cats took a bit of a shellacking on the field, but unfortunately, what something became the story that shouldn't have become the story, right. Was that they were making the transition to no tickets. It's all like via Apple mm-hmm. Wallet or Samsung Wallet or, you know, via your phone, which I thought was kind of sporty of them to try to do that at 100% sure. all at once. And then B, the metal detectors, which I think was a surprise to everybody that they were going to have metal detectors at the gate. So between those two things, the entrance was really crowded. And, you know, Zach, people tailgate and they stay out on the mall until it's game time and then they yeah. go in. And that's if right. you're catching them off guard and it's going to take them an hour to get into the stadium, that's going to create some unhappiness mm-hmm. in the part of the customer. So unfortunately, yeah. the mechanics of putting a game on became a story. I have great faith that the school's going to fix all those problems, and then they were going to switch to cashless concessions, which again I think was news to everybody. They put out a press release on Friday that I know of. That was the only notification. So, you know, there were a lot of curveballs that they ran out of sodas at the game, so you couldn't get a Coke because some of the stands ran out. So I think some of those things are easy to fix, and some of the things yeah. that happened between the sidelines while the clock was running, those things are just going to take time to fix, right. Zach. I mean, it's right. a new team. The John Makovic era, that was a rough start. The Mike Stoops era, that was a rough start. And, you know, Jed Fish was starting off with the bare cupboard, as they say, and that's just going to take time. I think it just surprised everybody how well San Diego State was prepared and how well they did right from the starting gate. But we all know it's going to be a rebuild process. But I think after we saw some good fight out of the team against BYU, I think it was a little bit of a surprise for the fans to see him go out and drop three touchdowns to the opposition right off the bat.
Yeah, Matt, the San Diego State shellacking of the Wildcats is what we expected against BYU, which I think was interesting, right? And that's why I think some of us were surprised when the U of A was so competitive with BYU. We thought, oh, man, BYU is a top team in this country, and they're going to be, and they were last year. Tough first out for a brand new coaching staff, and so I think a lot of people thought, you know, well, maybe San Diego State's a little bit more kind of on our level. Clearly not, but that was the thought going out there. Yeah, my friend who texted, Matt, and I don't want to dwell on this because that's not my shtick. I don't want to dwell on what went wrong there. There's a lot to get excited by, I think. But he heard three people gave up and left. He said, and my dad's buddy's daughter and friends gave up too. In other words, folks who were tailgating and were coming in just decided, Matt, not to even go. They just left. They didn't go to the game. Bought tickets, planned to go, and just decided, nope, not going to stand in line. I think they had 4 points of entry at Arizona Stadium. Obvious things that need to be tweaked going forward. And maybe we also give a little grace, Matt, to the fact that it's been a very long time since fans were in Arizona Stadium. I mean, certainly that has to be a piece of this, right?
If they fix the problems for the rest of the games at home this season, I'm with you. You know, it's a one-off. But again, you're saying, well, we want 50,000 people in the stadium.
Right.
And then 40
right.
show up, which is not bad, really. And all things considered, 40 people show up, they want to see some football and then that. So, you know, those problems can be fixed by next week. The problems, you know, with the team, that's a rebuilding process. So I think people have expectation, you know, people have adjusted their expectations accordingly to the team, but hopefully they get the operational problems resolved going forward. That hopefully is an easy fix for the school. And that, unfortunately, that became the story, right? How many people do you know that said it took me an hour to get through or I gave up, like you said, and went home? So, yep, that's the tough one.
It's all over the Twitters. It really is. It really is. And look, I'm with you. A lot of people are really down on the Wildcats. I mean, this is game 2. I loved seeing the coverage of Jed Fish going around to the fraternity houses and stuff around campus and handing out shirts and you got to be there, you got to be with us. From TV, Matt, it looked like the Zona Zoo was rocking. I mean, people were there.
The students showed up.
I hope they show up next week, right? That's the thing is when you get beaten that badly, it's kind of discouraging. But I think they're doing what they need to be doing. I'm hopeful. I really did want to see the quarterback change happen earlier in the game from Gunnar Cruz to, what is it, Will Plummer. I thought that should have happened at halftime. But I don't get paid the big bucks to make those decisions. But yeah, you know, a little bit of a slower start. And that Brady Hoke team, the San Diego State University, they're not a cupcake, Matt.
I said it, and I was wrong. So there you go.
It's recorded, so I
did correct myself once you pointed out to me that the Cats were one-point favorites. I said, well, okay, maybe they're not a cupcake team. And they weren't.
It's recorded history, Matt, so I figured I could give you a hard time on
that. Sure, of course.
Oh, goodness. All right. That does it. If you feel like messaging your experience, good, bad, or indifferent at the game, shoot me an email, message me. Happy to talk as much as we can off the air. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us. 520-790-2040 is the live line number. We'll be on tomorrow with Mayor Murphy Sawarita. Again, it's a two-mayor, one-university president week here on Tipping Point, so keep us on your calendar. 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. drive time every morning, Monday through Friday. Check us out on the podcast. We'll also catch up tomorrow with Eric Smith, University of Arizona Center for Innovation. If there is an institution driving innovation and economic development in town, there are few like Tech Parks Arizona and the University of Arizona Center for Innovation. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. Take care out there, Tucson. Stay cool. We'll see you tomorrow, Tuesday.